the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Get a little raw footage.
Yeah. Cool.
Look at that, Bray. Look, who's here?
Uh-huh.
Retired Master Chief Keith Goosby on the Edge with me. Brains, I'm so excited to have him here. Let me tell you a little bit of a story. You know I love to tell my stories. On how I met Mr. Goosby. It was Hurricane Katrina and the world was in flux. Like it is now. I go over to the Red Cross because my spirit led me there. It said, go to the Red Cross and help people. And who did I find? A gold mine. This was my predecessor. I ended up being the outreach coordinator for San Diego and Imperial Counties. And Keith was doing that before. He is a retired Master Chief of the United States Navy. He is a man of honor and dignity. Someone that I really, really admire. Someone that has really kind of taught me a lot about humanity and a motivational speaker like no other. He's about to pivot. He's about to retire from his civil. You have a civil service job now, right?
Yes, correct.
With the Navy. And now he's going to branch out and do something all on his own. I'm going to ask him about everything, about his beautiful wife, Pam, about how, what are you going to do with this goatee here? Because I'm liking it. I want to find out, what is the trend? Why are men growing these beards? What he thinks of the current world affairs, because he's traveled the world. In addition to that, you know, the mindset of the military, you know, a little bit about our leadership and direction on an individual level, and what he's going to be coaching people to do. You ready to talk about all that and then some?
Let's roll. I'm ready.
All right. All right. Well, you know, I like to play dice, so I'm going to let you shoot first. Okay. Tell my brain a little bit about you.
So my name is Keith Goosby. First, let me say this. I love being interviewed by April. Very relaxing, very calm. She's not out to put you on the spot. She's out to get something that her audience can enjoy and learn from. So anyway, great to be here with you, April. I'm retired from the Navy. I retired back in 2004 after doing 30 years. And then I'm working for the Navy again as a civilian, and I'm about to retire next year in 2021. And so even this morning, as we talk about retirement, you know, what really does that mean? What does that look like? But I can tell you, for me, it looks like fun. I just went out and bought myself a wetsuit so I can get out in the ocean and do some snorkeling and maybe try to learn how to stand up on a surfboard and all that kind of stuff. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's amazing because you just learned how to swim a few years ago, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I wish I'd learned many years before that. Wow. April, let me say this about that. So one of the things about the lessons I got from swimming is that I spent 30 years in the Navy, couldn't swim a lick, right? So, and I had this fear, okay? Now, you wouldn't have seen it in me, but I enjoyed myself on the beach while other people were swimming. I'd sit on a bench and, you know, chat with people and I'd go out on ships and whatnot. But there was this piece of world that was missing, all because I was afraid of the water. And you know, once you overcome that fear, once you put your desires ahead of your fear, it's amazing what happens. So one day I'm up on an elliptical in the gym, and I'm looking down at this swimming pool, this Olympic sized swimming pool, and it's like, why are you not in there? And suddenly my desire to get in that pool overcame my fear of the water. And then at that point, April, it became physics. Wait a minute. If other people can stay up in the water, then I can too. We're all made the same way. So yeah. I need to just get on with it. So yes, whole new world has opened up, April.
So I remember very clearly me and my dear friend Peyton about a speech that you gave about blacks not swimming. Mm-hmm. We don't have pools. We have basketball courts or the fear of the water. And so I'm so glad that you overcame that, you know, and that is a barrier for a lot of black people. They don't swim. I'm not a good swimmer. I can float, but I don't know if I could float long enough to sustain myself in an emergency. So how did you learn how to swim? You went and got an instructor, you took a class, what'd you do? You got floaties.
If I did, I'd never tell. I wasn't that sophisticated. I just walked out, I'm in the elliptical looking down at water. And the next day I went and got my flower colored shorts and I just went and got in the shallow end of the pool.
No, you did.
That's what I did. And as I'm in there just laying down trying to figure out how to swim, a lifeguard walks up to me and says, "Are you trying to learn how to swim?" And it's pretty obvious that I was. I go, "Yeah." She go, "If you don't mind, I'll give you some pointers." So she gave me some pointers. She was the only swim instructor, lifeguard there. Then she left in about 30 days. And then this former Marine who was a lifeguard said, "Hey, I noticed you were learning how to swim with her. What if I take over?" Sure. Well, she was teaching me technique. He took me to the deep end. And in typical Marine fashion, he was yelling at me, having me going to the bottom, coming back up, et cetera. But April, here's the deal. I want to go back in that story. One of the life lessons from that was just walk into the pool. You know what you want to do. And you don't know, I don't know any instructors. I don't know this. I don't know that. That'd have been great if I did. I just walked into the pool and the rest came into play. Okay. And today it's one of my favorite forms of exercise.
Wow. We're talking about jumping over into the deep end. I want to talk about, you are a very strong man of faith. Mm-hmm. Are you an associate pastor of a church? Well,
I'm an elder at a church. I was a pastor at one time years ago, but now I'm an elder in a local church right now.
And the power of prayer, you know, mm-hmm. It just seems like people are really turning to their religious faith and their doctrine, mm-hmm. which they should have been there all along, but mm-hmm. I'm judging you get there when you get there.
Yeah.
Talk to us about fear and faith.
So fear fear can really put a limit on your faith, because your faith says one thing. You quote things to yourself. For instance, you quote to yourself, "I can do all things to him who gives me strength," right? Right. Yet when it comes with time to do that thing that you need to do, you can't do it because of fear. So your fear can oppose your faith. Okay. So if it's something that you need to do, you know, sometimes you just want to do. If you really believe that, if you really have that faith, then sometime it means you just step out there, okay? Now, you can do your homework first and find the swim instructor or find whoever, or even if you don't do the homework, you just step into it and then let your faith take over from the fear. And as I said earlier, my desire, okay, mm-hmm. overcame my fear. So here's the scales. Here was fear and here was a desire, mm-hmm. okay? Here was faith. And suddenly one morning it went this way. Okay. Still had a little fear, but the desire and the faith was far more. And so I was able to go into it. And here I am today.
And you are floating. You are soaring. Oh, yeah. But now you say you want to go into the ocean. You know, yes. You want to go back to a place that you're familiar, because, you know, you were in the Navy for 30 years. Mm-hmm. You never swam in the ocean during that 30 year period. So now you want to see what is down underneath the sea.
Yes, yes. Well, so I've done a couple of swims in the ocean. And here's another thing, April, another point. You just throw me points. Okay, regrets. So I was the command master chief, you know, senior enlisted, one of the top leadership positions on board an aircraft carrier. And we're out in the middle of the ocean and the commanding officer says, "We're going to do a swim call." Now, different ships do it. We weren't the only one. And people were jumping into the ocean. And I was so fearful, not only for me, but I was fearful for them. Sometimes we cast our fears on other people, mm-hmm. okay? And I was fearful for them that they can't do that. They can't jump into the ocean. But I'm thinking about me and what I can't do. Today, if I have I think Frank Sinatra said regrets. I have a few. But anyway, I have a few of them. One of my regrets is that I wasn't able to swim, because I would love to go back on an aircraft carrier and jump into the ocean. Now, I have gone in the ocean since then, okay? But sometime when we look back, we have regrets of things we didn't do. And guess what the culprit was? It was my fear.
Wow. Well, you know, we have to feel the fear and do it anyway. That's what we're supposed to do. But these are trying times, Keith. This is not your normal stuff, okay? And there is something to be feared.
Yes.
But as Christians, we have always been fighting the invisible enemy. Mm-hmm. And we have always been taught to walk by faith and not by sight. Mm-hmm. Okay, absolutely. But how are we to navigate this, Master Chief? How are we able to look at our compass?
Okay.
Find direction.
Okay, so my compass. Well, first, what is my compass and how is it calibrated? So I'll take you back to a fellow by the name of Joshua. And at the end of his time, he made this comment. He said, you know, each of you, you choose what you're going to do. You choose whether you're going to follow foreign gods, whether you're going to do, you know, whatever you're going to do. As for me and my house, we will follow the Lord, is what he said. Now, what does that mean? You see, because he's saying the Lord is my compass and that's who I'm going to follow. Now, in following the Lord, it may run counter to culture around us, to the political views around us, to different things around us. But I've made the decision. This is my, the Lord is my compass. This is what I'm going to do. So Joshua, he got rid of doubt in his mind of which way to go. Sometimes one of our enemies becomes doubt as we vacillate back and forth. Well, do I follow my compass or do I stray off this time? Did you put my compass in my pocket and just kind of follow my own way? Because this looks like a better way to go. But then I can pull my compass back out. No. If you're going to follow the compass, follow the compass. And if you say that the Lord is my compass, follow the Lord. Now, sometime what you think and what God thinks may not be the same thing on a given subject. For instance, pray for your enemy. Okay, but that ain't what I think because I got something else I want to do with my enemy. Okay.
Okay. I just did a teachable moment on trying to be a decent human being because I'm telling you what be rattling around in my brain.
Uh-huh.
Come out my mouth, it ain't going to be pretty and I'm going to have to pay for it.
Uh-huh. And so you got it. But my compass says, pray for my enemy. Okay, compass. That's what I do. And then the results, when we look behind us, we see the results of following that. Okay. Mm-hmm. But while we're living in the moment, sometimes we want to take the easiest route or we want to follow our own feelings. And our feelings are legitimate. I mean, someone really made me mad. Someone really is my enemy. That's a legitimate feeling.
Right.
But I already have committed that I'm going to follow the compass. And this is where the compass takes me in predicaments such as this.
All right. So you got to follow the compass. Well, you know, and it's not always heading north. Sometimes you got to go east, west. Sometimes you got to go south. Sometimes you just got to steady the course and stay right there. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about leadership.
Okay.
You know a lot about leadership from a military perspective, from working in civil service, you know, from being an elder in the church. What do you say to people in places of leadership right now? What characters should they have? What should be a part of their moral fiber?
Okay, so first let me just kind of back off for just a minute and say, let me talk a little bit about just a minor difference. I'm not going very deep in this. Are you a manager or a leader? Now, leaders need to be managers. Leaders must be a manager. And managers are not bad. Managing good is good. But you see, when I'm managing, someone gave me something to work with and just said, manage this. Okay. When I'm leading, I don't only manage, I also provide vision. I also provide inspiration. I also inspire people to bigger and better things. Okay. So one of the things a leader must have is they need to inside themselves. Recognize that they need to have some type of vision. They need to be ready to step out there. They need to have a certain, for lack of a better term in this conversation, I'll say conviction. And let me give you an example of that. So when and I don't want to go deep into this subject. I just want to use it as an example. When the George Floyd, death happened in front of all of our eyes on TV, there were leaders who said, okay, what am I supposed to do? Let me wait for my leadership to tell me how to deal with this, et cetera. There were really leaders who said, you know what? I need to address this. And so they get with their people and they talk because they know there's feelings there. They know there's the quote unquote elephant in the room. They know that there are some things happening. And so the leader was courageous, okay, was bold and courageous and stepped out there. Now they did some homework for, you know, hopefully they did some of their homework first, but they knew the conversations had to be had. And so they were able to walk out there. Leaders recognize when it's time to have the conversation, when it's time to, when we're not doing good where we are, when it's time to inspire people to even bring out their visions, let alone my own vision. And I think that's something that a leader needs to possess.
You know, I agree, but I also think that a leader needs to be able to be accountable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and accept responsibility, not for my actions, not for your team, but for your own actions.
Yes.
And for your reactions to situations, because people are looking to you because they trust you. They feel that you have skill, that you have power, that you have force, that you have influence, you know. And it is really jarring to see the lack of leadership and see a lot of sycophants just following along, you know, the blind leading the blind. And it's really awful right now. And I never thought that I would live in a day to see this all around the world. Okay, I'm not just talking about here in the United States. I don't know what it is. And I'm a little nervous, you know, I'm a little nervous because we're being frowned upon. You know, our allies are looking at us like, what? Our kids are looking at us like, these adults, this is what you're trying to teach us? What would you say to encourage us to stay strong and steady the course?
So I would say, I think the thing that helps me to...
Hold on, you froze on me.
Okay. And because there's one of the disservices that we do that we have with our children, for instance, is that we're not teaching them how to be thinkers. We're teaching them how to be followers. Go do this, go do that, go do the other. And they're obedient and they go do it. And we raise a great family. But what didn't happen was that that child did not learn how to be a thinker.
Right.
We'll teach you how to do math, but we won't teach you how to be a thinker. So first of all, you know, I need to, you know, my peers and the people around me, they all mean well, and people got their different takes on what's happening around us. I need to learn how to do research and how to think on my own. And if there's certain things I learned from an early age, certain principles, certain values, and et cetera, and I need to understand, are these my values? Or are these my mother's values? Whose values are they?
Right.
And she came across them honestly. My mom did. My mom's awesome. She came across them honestly. But in my life, am I just carrying on a tradition of a certain value? Or am I examining to see where I stand on the value?
Okay?
And so then as I move ahead, it helps me to determine where I'm going to go. And you know, it doesn't really matter if everybody else goes with me. I may have to go it alone, or I may be in a group of everybody else. So I'm not afraid to be part of a big group that all think alike, but I'm also not afraid to be the one out of that group that thinks differently. So the ability to think, to examine, to research, and to think on our own and come to our own conclusions is right. going to help us be just a bit more comfortable as you move ahead. And not only that, and hopefully it's going to help us understand our position of, okay, we're adults now. We've come to a certain point. We need to start working on the next generation, and not by planting thoughts in their head, but by showing them how to think, how to research, how to come to a conclusion on their own.
Right. And you know, let's dial back a little bit. Let's talk about your humble beginnings. Let's talk about where you came from and how you got in the Navy.
Okay. So I come from a little place called Leesville, Illinois. Now there was a time I wouldn't say that because I was embarrassed. Okay. So I'd say Chicago. And people say Chicago. I go, well, not really Chicago. Kankakee. Well, not really Kankakee, St. Anne. Leesville was a little, I guess if you looked in the dictionary, you could call it a hamlet, okay, very sparsely populated, dirt roads. In fact, the house where I was raised in up until the eighth grade to my high school, my sophomore year in high school, you know, there's still, dirt roads in front of it. There's still some issues there. It's in Pembroke Township, Illinois. If you just go Google Pembroke Township, Illinois, you'll find out it was started by a former slave. It was very poor. It's still very poor to this day. Not poor in spirit, not poor in pride, but poor economically, okay? And so I come from that place. There was a lot of things I didn't know, I didn't see. Library, what was a library? If we had one in school, that was it, but I didn't go to the library. I don't think I saw my first McDonald's till I was, you know, 15, 16 years old. I mean, there's just maybe a little younger, but you know. So I came from a place where there wasn't a lot around. I didn't see a lot. How did I get out of that? I'm working at a place called in Illinois, Thrall Car Manufacturers, and they make railroad box cars. I tell you what, that job was so hard, April. I quit at lunchtime the first day. I walked up to the foreman and said, you know what? You don't owe me anything. You gave me what you owe me. Mm. And what I was saying to myself, he didn't know what I was saying. What he gave me was that you can't go on like this. You got to do something. You got to make a move. So I quit at lunchtime the first day. The next day I went to the recruiting station. All the recruiting stations were outside. By went to the Air Force, and the Air Force said, yeah, we can take you 3 months. I go, that ain't good enough. Went to the Navy. Navy said, we'll take you today. Here I am. Okay. Wow. April, I should have known, but I wasn't thinking about Navy was, you know, I wasn't thinking about the water and can't swim. And I wasn't thinking about, I didn't even know that Navy had airplanes, and I became an aircraft electrician, you know. So my beginnings were, I didn't really have goals and plans written out like some people did in their lives. My plan was, and I tell people this today, April, because not everybody is good at writing down plans or sticking to them having goals. My plan was, you can't stay where you are. If you don't know what you want, if you don't know where you want to go, just know where you can't be.
That's right.
Know I can't stay here. If you don't know what kind of relationship you want in the future, just know that this ain't the relationship for me. If you don't know what kind of job you want in the future, just know this is not the one. I tell people all the time, plans and goals, you need to have them, but that's not a reason to not succeed. You just move ahead and let your goal be this one thing. If you can't figure out any other, to do my 100% best on a daily basis and watch what happens. And that's kind of how I moved on. And that's kind of how I got to where I am now. You know, I became in the Navy, a Force Master Chief. That's a big title. That's a big thing. Someone asked me, and they said, well, what was your plan to become a Force Master Chief? I go, I didn't have one. Wow. See, because of the behaviors I had and what I was doing, I didn't have to have one. Other people saw me and they pulled me in that direction. Mm-hmm. Now, hear me. You need to have your own plans and goals, but not having them is not a reason to sit home and go, well, I'm less than everybody else because I don't have a plan. I'll go. No, you go do your best. Okay. Right. So.
I'm a mentor. You know, I remember you mentoring me and telling me, hey, this is how you navigate through this. This is a different type of situation. You know, our community, Black people are really suffering from Hurricane Katrina. Let's get out there. Let's talk to the churches. Let's, you know, talk on the street corners, whatever. Let them know that the American Red Cross is a good organization. That's right. Hey, that is a great organization and that they are there to help. So now I'm seeing all of this going on. You know, Mr. Magnificent grew his beard. I loved it. I used to like to brush it and all that. But why did you grow your beard?
Why did I grow my beard? So I was very comfortable with who I was 30 years in the Navy. Clean shaven. I had a mustache. Always had a mustache. But otherwise, clean shaven, short hair, blah, blah, blah. And my wife wanted me to grow a beard. And I was so reluctant. Okay. And so we took a vacation to Australia. And I thought, okay, that's far enough away from everybody else. I'll try it now. And I started growing it. And she liked it. Now, when she liked it and she started rubbing on it, that was probably like 90% of keep it. Okay. But then I began to like it. And so April, I realized that I was holding on to my Navy identity. You know, now I could still be clean shaven today. You follow me? I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying I had become so comfortable doing a certain thing. I didn't give myself a chance to do something else. And now that my wife taught me to have the beard, now that I have, I like it. I think it's cool. Okay. So
I know. I thought Mr. Magnificent, his is sexy too. I was like, wow. But you've grown into your maturity. You have grown into the man that you are today. What would you tell a younger version of Keith Gooseby?
The younger version of
Keith Gooseby, maybe a 30-year-old.
30-year-old Keith Gooseby. I would tell that 30-year-old Keith Gooseby, okay, no one else knows, but you know that you have fears about certain things. You know that those fears hold you back from certain things. April, can I go back to 20 years old, if I may, for a second?
Oh, take it back, brother. Roll it back. Okay.
So I didn't have conversation. I didn't know how to handle myself socially. There was a lot of things I didn't know. I can look back, and I can't speak for others, but I can say the reason I was a heavy drinker and a heavy drug user was because it gave me personality.
Wait, whoa, pump your brakes.
Pump my brakes, all right.
Wait a minute, you was drinking and drugging?
I sure was. Hardcore, both.
I'd never believe it. See, Brains, look at the stuff you find out on the edge. Now, if somebody would have told me that, I would have bet them $100 they was lying.
No. And what it did for me, it gave me, like, okay, so I go to the party. I'm the wallflower guy. But, you know, I go find myself a little Tangeray or a little whatever, you know what I'm saying? And pretty soon I got personality, you know?
You got charm, you got swagger.
I'm killing it now, you know? And the 30-year-old me was recognizing, and maybe a couple years before that, that, hey, look, you know what? You don't need all that. You know, you're capable. In fact, what comes out of you when you do that kind of stuff, some of that, that's good stuff. You're capable, you know, step outside of your fears. Your fear was speaking in front of other people, starting a conversation, believing you could hold a conversation, certain things. And so what I tell my 30-year-old self is that I should have started that even sooner. I should have started just stepping out there. Just like I stepped in that swimming pool, I should have stepped into other areas of a social life. Now, I would tell you this, April, even today, I can still be socially awkward in certain circles, but I'm okay with that. I'm comfortable. That's who I am. Okay. So I think I would tell my 30-year-old self that, look, you don't have to hold on to all these things that limit you. You can let them go. And it's okay if you stumble. Just get back up, dust your pants off, and keep moving. That's what I would tell myself.
Absolutely. So now you are going to take all this wisdom, this displaced fear, any anger, hostility, and morph it into something beautiful by coaching other individuals. Mm-hmm. That's a next step for you, you know, after you retire from the civil service job and, you know, enjoy yourself and brush your beard. You're going to go into a coaching practice.
Yeah.
Who's going to be your ideal client?
My ideal client is going to be, and I say ideal because I can spread out further than that, but my ideal client is that person who's, they're now in the workforce or, you know, and but they still aren't sure. They still don't have a foundation. They still trying to figure how to get ahead. It's one thing to have a job. It's another thing to have a future. It's another thing to recognize where you can go and what you can do. And sometimes we just become very comfortable with just having the job. My ideal person is that person who's, whatever it is, they know they can do better. They know they can move ahead, but they just can't figure it out. Okay. And that's my ideal client. Now, it doesn't have to be just job related. It could be relationship related. It could be different things where the person just kind of feels stuck. I'm stuck here. And I took a step and where do I go? And how do I move ahead? My ideal client is that mid-20s to maybe 40-year-old person, again, I can go much broader than that, who they're looking for how to get ahead. They started doing some things, some positive things, and they want to become even better at what they're doing. And they want to see a brighter future and pursue it.
And you know, there's a big transition when you leave the military and you go into civilian life. You know, I had to work with Mr. Magnificent on just changing the vernacular in his conversation. Yeah. Learning the civilian world versus a very disciplined regiment world. So I think also coaching with you would be great in that transition from my son's about to be getting out of the Navy in a couple years. Mm-hmm. You know, just kind of learning how to get back into mainstream society. You've done all that, but you've also had a very successful marriage. You're a father and a grandfather. How have you been able to navigate the storms of a marriage? Because being a military spouse, okay, ain't no joke. I was one for 20 years. I know. Mm-hmm. What would you say to a couple that might be struggling right now that needs some coaching, that needs some advice, that needs some encouragement on staying together through these tough times? Because the military is not like it used to be. Oh, it's way different.
Well, you know, I think it starts early on. Early on, you have to be committed. Am I committed to this relationship or not? Okay, because April, most of us say these words through sickness and death, through ill health, the richer and poor, and yet any one of those things come up, and they can cause a split, a potential split.
They done changed their compass.
Exactly. So those were just hollow words. What I would say to is say, let's go back to those words and what did that mean? And what were you all thinking when you even said this in the first place? Okay. And so let's go back there and let's re-examine those words, what they really mean, but also there's some other pieces to it. And let's look at the role that each other's playing. For instance, my wife is a very strong woman, okay? Physically too, but she's a very strong woman, okay? And she has some brilliant ideas, okay? And when I would go on a cruise, and keep in mind the years I started, we didn't have email and that kind of thing. By the time she wrote me a letter, in fact, one time she wrote me a letter asking me, is it okay if she move into Navy housing that we applied for? And by the time I got the letter, she was moved in. She made the decision, okay?
We used now, to give each other cassette tapes, me and my husband, so we could hear each other.
Okay, so you know. So here's the deal. But I have confidence in my wife.
Right.
And I think that's part of it. Do I have confidence in my mate? Now, some don't, and maybe we need to work with that. Why you don't, how can we make that happen? But so if we're going to navigate this, we need to have confidence in each other. We need to be true with each other. When I do come home and she's already moved into the Navy housing or whatever different thing has taken place, and you know, she doesn't do anything that's unnecessary, you know, right. But it's something that needs to be done. Don't come home critical of the fact that she had to do something on her own. What I should come home and do is praise that you did this. Amazing. You took this on and you carried on. So, you know, how do we commend each other? How do we build each other up, even though we're distant apart? And how do we see ourselves in the future? Okay. And so I think it's very important for couples who, and we use military as the example, who have all the struggles that they may be moving several times in within 10 years. One of them may be deploying and the other one's at home. Mm-hmm. They're on different sides of the world. Are we committed to the marriage? Are we committed to each other? Mm-hmm. If we can get that point straightened out, I think a lot of the other points will kind of fall into place.
And I think independence and, you know, women are about to take over, Master Chief. So I just want y'all to know, okay? But the women need to also do it right. Just because you change the sex,
yeah,
doesn't mean that you change the mind.
Yeah,
you know, sexism, racism, classism, you know, all of that. It can still exist. Because yeah. I tell people all the time, I have been towed up in the world by more women than men.
Yeah.
So looking at that, but identifying people's strengths, allowing them their independence, but also valuing codependence.
Yeah.
It's huge. Correct.
Yes.
It is huge. And you have done all that for me and more here on the edge. What a postcard. Okay, we got the postcard. One more time. On the edge.
We're on the edge.
Yes. Thank you so much for being here. When you are out in the real world, as real as it'll get, come on back. I'd like for you to be a contributor on the show because I think that you've got some great inspiration and motivation and some truths. You've been there, done that, and got the t-shirt.
All right. Okay.
And so I really think that it is important that we really kind of stay out in front for our young people to mentor them, for our old people to comfort them, and for our middle-aged people just to stabilize them.
Yes. Yes, so let me say these few words here.
Absolutely.
And so I think we owe it to people to help them understand you can overcome fear. If this guy who can walk into a pool one day and say, I'm going to do it, okay? And now all the lifeguards I've talked to since then, most of them say, what, you learned it at what age? You know, that's, people don't normally learn past a certain age. Age has nothing to do with it for me. It was a desire. Let people understand that sometime you're going to look back and you're going to wish that you had done some things. You're going to see that you could have done some things. And the only thing that held you back was your fear. And sometimes our fear helps us even conjure up bad scenarios. So in that relationship you talked about, my spouse is gone. I'm conjuring up a scenario. What might be up? No. Let's live in the world. Let's live in the present. Let's live in the moment. And let's as much as we can, put our fears down. Let's get back on the scale, put our fears down and raise the faith up. Okay, and let's follow those things that we know that we should be able to do.
Back to our religious doctrine, we walk by faith and not by sight.
By sight.
So much for being here. Have you set up a website? Have you set up a way to get in contact with you for consultation, maybe a little beta group to kind of walk through the process? Have you set anything up yet?
The answer is no, but there's another part to the answer. The answer is I'm working with someone right now to do that. Because right now I'm working with a company. I just recently submitted the first draft of the book that I'm writing. Okay, and so that's gonna be kind of the launching point, you know, because I have something there, you know, with the writing of the book and the site, and so I want to be prepared. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't want to be perfect. I'm not striving for perfect. I think I can make it work. I just want to be prepared, so when you do call me, I have the time to dedicate to you to give you the answer for us to have the conversation. I already got the plan worked out. You know, I got the plan worked out. I got the hours. I got all that. I just want to make sure that I'm ready for you because I owe you my best when you come to me.
Oh, you're so sweet, and you gave me part of your best, and I thank you so much for that. Brains, okay, the best right there. One of my mentors. I want you to go and subscribe to everything on the planet. YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, yada, yada. The whole shebang, because I'm bringing it to you. And what I'm about to bring to you next is going to be mind-blowing, okay? And I mean seriously mind-blowing. So, again, thank you so much, Keith Goosby. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep shining. Keep brushing that beard. And swimming. You know, yep. I'm gonna have to get some nerve. I can swim a little bit, but that ocean and that seaweed, I don't know about that now.
Hey, you know what? One step at a time. One step at a time.
All right. And thank you for stepping here on the edge with me and my brains. Bye, brains. Have an exceptional day. I'm counting on you.
Thank you.